O'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here with us today to celebrate our Lord's love and forgiveness here on a beautiful Sunday morning in the San Luis Valley as he continues to bless us. We do have a couple of special things to mention here before we get started. This Sunday is the Sunday where we install and commission our Lutheran day school teachers in our school for Trinity Lutheran School. So we're blessed to have them here with us this morning for that installation and commissioning. And then also, if you'll notice in your bulletin, it's been a little while since I've done this, but I do have in the bulletin throughout the service explanations. They're marked by three asterisks there, and they explain not every point of the service, but a lot of it, why we do what we do as Lutheran Christians, and information about different parts of the service. So pay attention to those if you'd like as we go through our service today. Again, we welcome you, and we welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning on KSBK. Thanks for listening in. We wish you the Lord's blessings in joining us on the radio this morning. Our service begins with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 730, What is this world to me? And we invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of that hymn this morning, and let's sing together. This morning, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Amen. Do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today comes from Isaiah's prophecy in the 51st chapter. We begin in verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 11 and chapter 12. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand for our Alleluia and our reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you,
Lord. We invite the congregation at this time to join us in confessing our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, Maker.
Right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe.
Spirit, the whole Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, we invite the congregation to join us in singing our sermon hymn for this morning. That's hymn 645, Built on the Rock. Let's sing.
Thank you.
of Jesus. Amen. Give credit where credit is due. We as people, we sure like to be recognized for our accomplishments. From the Super Bowl to the Little Leagues, from Employee of the Month to the Grammys. If we do something, we want somebody to notice. And gentlemen, imagine you've done the dishes. You've cleaned every one of them very carefully and dried them as well. No spots on these glasses. And your spouse doesn't notice your labor. Or ladies, you took it upon yourself to change the oil in your husband's truck or car and rotated his tires even and cleaned the rims. And he didn't acknowledge your amazing thoughtfulness. Let's face it, we live in a world where even ideas are seen as accomplishments. We call them IP, or intellectual property. A world of patents, a world where people write books and have novel ideas. And some Christian authors even claim to have received amazing insight from God to help people. And you can have that amazing insight for the low, low price of $29.95 for the book. Like God would charge for his insight. Yuck. Imagine attending university for 4 years and not receiving any acknowledgement or degree. Or 4 years of high school classes and no diploma. That would feel to us pointless. That's because we need to be acknowledged. It's a part of who we are. But this morning, consider this. Is that the best part of us that demands recognition? Or is it the worst? The Proverbs say in chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The part of us that says, hey, I did this. Look at me. Look at me. Is that the part of us we should be proud of? I only bring it up today because our gospel reading seems at first glance like some kind of recognition for the Apostle Peter. It appears to be his shining moment, actually. He gets it right, finally. You know, Peter, he doesn't get a lot of wins in his life, in the gospel accounts. He's usually the one that speaks up and puts his foot squarely in his mouth. We'll see in the lectionary next week, one of those times where Jesus will literally look at him and call him Satan. Watch for that next Sunday. Peter goes out on the water with Jesus, you remember that story, only to what? Sink. Of course, Jesus pulls him out, but the poor guy can't even win in a foot race with the Apostle John to the tomb on the morning of the resurrection. John accounts that he's faster than Peter. He wins the race. At first glance, the text looks like some kind of recognition for him. I mean, he does finally get it right. The kids might say something like, dang, Peter, that's fire. You heard that one? I heard it just the other day. I was like, okay, cool. We had our own things, right? But it ends up being what they also might say is quite sus. It's short for suspect. Couldn't help myself, sorry. Jesus asked the disciples in chapter 16, verse 13, who do people say the Son of Man is? And then come all the wrong answers. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he asks them again, verse 15, but who do you say that I am? Then good old Peter has the answer. And it's correct. It's right on the money. Like the Broncos last night. They do win sometimes. Here it is. Simon Peter replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter's answer is straight through the uprights. But then Jesus' reply. Look with me at that closely, if you would, in your bulletin there or in your Bible. Jesus, his answer isn't honoring Peter. It's not congratulating. It's not an acknowledgement of Peter's superior intellect or ability to make sense of everything around him. It's no recognition at all. In fact, he says to him in verse 17 there, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar just means son. Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He doesn't give Peter the glory for this at all, but he gives the glory to the Father. Jesus, in all his ways, acknowledges the Father just like the proverb said. So what do we learn from this? Well, all around our Christian landscape, our need for recognition, our need for some kind of acknowledgement, which we get in the kingdom of the world, right? We do get diplomas. We do get degrees. We do get acknowledged often when we've done something. But when that need or that lust for acknowledgement starts to bleed over into our Christian faith, it can have us make a mess out of Christianity. It's common for us to make our faith into something that we've accomplished. To take the glory for our goodness that we see because we're Christian and give it to ourselves. It's really easy to see our Christian faith as something we're doing and something we did. We want to give just a little glory to ourselves for believing in Jesus. But friends, this is a trap. Because doing this sets up a nasty, sinful, and quite unchristian comparison between ourselves and others who don't yet believe in him. A comparison that actually messes up our opportunity to witness of Jesus, and we really want to do that. We want other people to believe in Jesus and to know peace and forgiveness and be blessed with joy that stretches beyond this world. Then we can learn from our gospel lesson this morning. If you or I can confess along with Peter that Jesus is the Christ, then Jesus has the same thing to say to us that he had to say to Peter. Blessed are you. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father who's in heaven. He doesn't give us any credit in this. No recognition, no acknowledgement, no trophy. Jesus sees it as it is. It's God's work within you and within me. And that means the fact that we believe, the fact that we go to church, the fact that we truly do desire to live in a God-pleasing way is no credit to us at all. As if it makes us better than someone else who hasn't had the blessing become real for them yet. We in no way can say, I did this and you didn't to anyone. Because we didn't do it. We're blessed. You got to think about this one. Consider this idea. A pastor shows up here at our church. And he says, I want you to know all that I've done. I went to the seminary. I studied the scriptures. I studied our confessions. I even stayed and got an advanced degree. And we think, if he even for one second is suggesting that he did all that for those reasons, just for himself, we'll see right through him. We'll think, gross, man. Who are you? Who are you? It'd be terribly obvious to us that he did it for all the wrong reasons. Just for his own, what, pedigree or, you know, his resume? Christian faith isn't about us. I mean, I want to say that 5 times in a row, but I won't. It's not about us. It's not about me, and it's not about you. What we've done, our ministry, our mission work, gross. Bragging about that or needing some kind of acknowledgement or recognition, giving into that desire to let everyone around you know what you've accomplished, taking the glory for ourselves, gross. As if we did it. Brothers and sisters, here's what Jesus says, John 6, verse 44. No one can even come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And in another place, Matthew 6, verse 3, he goes this far, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Like one part of you shouldn't even acknowledge what the other part of you is accomplishing. Why does he say that? Because within us, each of us is still our old nature, our false self, the part we inherited from Adam and Eve that screams for recognition, for credit, for at least one small slice of the glory. That's the part of us we shouldn't trust. The scriptures tell us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone away. Behold, the new has come. All this, he says, is from God. That last part really strikes. All this is from God, not just part of it. Or in Philippians chapter 2, says this, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, according to his good pleasure. God has done great things with you. I have no doubt that's true. He's done great things with me sometimes. But it was him at work in us to will and to do. When Jesus tells Peter, blessed are you, he's saying, Peter, you've been blessed if you know this. And he says the same to us. If we know the truth that Jesus' cross and his resurrection was for us, for our forgiveness, for our life, and for the sins of the whole world, if we believe in that, if we try, if we attend church, if we've been given it what we can, we've been blessed by God. We haven't done anything great that other people should be doing. You gotta check it right there at that spot. Check it. Because it matters a lot. Because it changes the way that we deal with other people around us who still await that work within them. This reality keeps these truths that we're talking about this morning, they keep that old nature that needs that credit and acknowledgement and look at me's, it keeps it at bay. Just because God has blessed us with the knowledge of the truth, it doesn't mean that we're better than anyone who hasn't had the blessings become real to them yet. We can't look at anyone and phrase our faith in a way that makes it look like we've done something they need to do. If that was the case, the proverb would have to say, in all your ways, acknowledge yourself. And it doesn't say that. As if we made ourselves who we are. If we're people that truly trust Jesus and have hope and joy and peace, that's something he's done for us. It's got to sink in. We've got to see it. The apostle will put it this way in Ephesians 2. He'll say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." When we look at people who don't believe or don't come to church or don't receive the sacrament, the best we can do is remember that apart from God's grace and work and mercy within us, we wouldn't have any time for it either. And today, if we're here, God be praised. To him be glory forever and ever. As Jesus said, John 6, he said, "As it's written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God." It doesn't say they'll all be taught by you or me. Or look at what we've done and see some kind of value in how we live our lives. Sadly, we're finding out, I think, that it's exactly the opposite. If we come across that way, we'll be no different than a bragging preacher. Instead, may we, by his grace and mercy, acknowledge not our own greatness, but all that God has done and continues to do for you and for me. How he saved us, and by his cross and his glorious resurrection, by his continued faithful work within us, by his word and spirit, that he continues to forgive us over and over and over when we resist what he's doing in our hearts. But he's remained faithful to us, and he always will. So let's bring others along in this Christian faith, sure. Let's bring them along in the truth of Christ that doesn't seek our glory or our benefit or recognition for ourselves, but that seeks the Father's glory, that gives credit to the Son and the recognition to the Holy Spirit, saying to those who haven't yet believed, "I'm nothing. He's everything. He died for me, and he loves me, and he died for you, and he loves you too." And yes, finally, give credit where credit is due. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we take a few moments to give back to the Lord a portion of those things that he's so graciously blessed us with in our time of tithes and offerings. Hey, we don't give of our own, out of our own blessings in order to gain something before God, but as a thankful response to all that he's given to us, as our hearts are led to give, so we give in accordance with that, according to the scripture. And as the offerings are collected and presented, would you join us in singing hymn 818, "In Thee Is Gladness." We come to the time in our service for our installation of our teachers for Trinity Lutheran School. I would ask that the teachers now come forward to the front here by the altar with me, and we'll do our installation and commissioning for the year. Isn't our school a blessed bunch? Look at these ladies, they're wonderful. They work really hard every day, and they get the distinguished honor that the Lord's given them to get to tell these little young minds the truth about Christ and what he did for them and how much he loves them, and then teach the kids other things to help them while they're in the world, of course. So we're blessed to have all of you. Thank you so much for what you do and the love and care that you show. We just have a short rite to go through here for the installation. So come on up here, buddy. You're good. You're good. So we'll begin our rite here with a reading from the book of Romans. Hear the word of the Lord concerning those who serve in the church. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone, you've already heard this, right? Among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Mary Connor, Charlene Wilson, Annie Nissen, Suzanne Tolsma, and Kristen Lipke have been appointed to serve as teachers in our school, with Mary as the preschool director and Kristen as the assistant director. They've been prepared for this service through advanced studies that qualifies them for this work. Trinity Lutheran School has been established to instruct children in a Christian environment, such knowledge and skills as will equip them for faithful service and responsible citizenship in their life's work and chosen careers. So I ask you, do each of you willingly and freely assume the responsibility entrusted to you, and do you promise to do your utmost to carry out in a God-pleasing manner the work assigned to you according to the mission and purpose of Trinity Lutheran School? If so, answer, yes, I do. Do you promise to set a Christian example for the students in speech, faith, and purity of life? If so, answer, yes, I do. You've heard the solemn promise of our teachers. Will you receive them and show them fitting respect and honor and pledge to cooperate and support their work? If so, answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Mary and Charlene and Annie and Suzanne and Kristen, I install you in the positions at Trinity Lutheran School as teachers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Would you face the altar with me? Gracious and bountiful Lord, we humbly pray that you will continue to make Trinity Lutheran School a center of godly learning and living. Give to those who teach knowledge, patience, and a loving spirit, and those who are taught receptive hearts and aptness to learn and prosper the work of our teachers and students and all others who assist them in their labors, that your church may be edified and your holy name glorified. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace now. The Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, bless you, and strengthen you for faithful service in his name. Amen. You can return to your pews. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, from you and through you and to you are all things. You have built your church on the confession of the gospel, and have promised that the gates of hell will not overcome it. To your church throughout the world, we pray that you would grant faith and courage to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God Almighty, you transform your church by the Holy Spirit so that she does not conform to the world. Draw forth from your people their proclamation of thanksgiving, that they may tell of all your wondrous deeds. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O Lord, grant that the office of the keys may be honored among us, in order that we may confess our sin and be absolved in the name of Christ, as you have so graciously forgiven us. Grant that we may extend this grace by forgiving others. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, care for all families, we pray, children, single adults, and youth, that they might steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Grant an increase in wisdom and grace to all who teach and all who learn, Lord, and bless our teachers here at Trinity. We thank you that you've put in their heart the willingness and the ability to serve and do some of the most precious work on earth. Lord, we thank you for our school board here at Trinity, those who serve on it. We pray that you continue to lead both the school board and the teachers and all who serve in the school, that you'd lead them in your way. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, grant that all nations and leaders might act for peace, promote godliness, and protect all who live under violence and oppression and injustice and fear, that all people might extol you, Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we pray you care for all victims of disaster, for those stricken by illness or infirmity, for the aged and the infirm, for the grieving, and for those who are near death. Lord, we especially ask you this morning, as the world moves on from what happened out in the islands of Hawaii, Lord, that you would bring comfort and healing and your peace to those situations. Lord, also, those who we have in our prayers of our church this morning, we name before you now, Jim and Linda Holman, Dennis Ortiz, Lisa Hershey, J.D. Deacon, Dale Randorf, James Mills, the family of Christian Myers, Eric and Rachel Cox, Barb Luco, Frankie Gray, Brooklyn Clasby, Carolyn Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendone, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, lead us to repentance and faith, that we may not think more highly of ourselves than is right, but that we would set our hearts and minds on your things, the things of God. Lord, prepare us to receive the blessed gifts of our Lord's table, that this food may keep us holy and blameless in Christ by faith, now and the day that he comes again. Lord, in your mercy. For from you and through you and to you are all things. To you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you join us now in the Lord's Prayer, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. If you're here gathered with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn to page 10 in your bulletin. And if you'd please stand now, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. KSPK.